This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Jump now to the Rood guest hotline. Rood, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, from the Washington Post, our guy Barry Svaluga. Barry, good afternoon, buddy. Thanks for the time.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Always a pleasure. So let's jump right in. What does the selection of Eli Willits mean? It's impossible not to ascribe more meaning to it, because this is interim GM. Rizzo has been here for 2 decades, no longer with the team. What does that selection mean last night to you?
It means that Mike DiBartolo took control of the draft process and put his imprint on it. I mean, I think there's no other way of looking at it. And I'll say, I had a suspicion that, I'm not telling you I knew they were going to pick Eli Willits. I didn't know, you know, the top of this draft class very well. But when Mike DiBartolo sat in that dugout in St. Louis and essentially introduced himself to the Nationals fan base, a fan base that he had quietly worked for, you know, 14 years to get to that point, it, not only did he say, we need real change, and that's kind of writ large across the whole organization, but when asked about, I mean, I asked him, look, you're only 5 days before the draft. Can you really make an imprint on it in that short amount of time? And while he said that Danny Haas, the scouting director, and his staff have obviously been working on it for a year, he said right then, the first day, that we're going to look at our options and see how to best optimize the selections that they have. What does that tell you? That tells you you're going to look at underslot options with the first pick, not just because it's about the money there, because you're spending the same amount of money. You're given the amount of money and you're going to spend it. But I think, and I was listening to your discussion earlier, that it's, you know, short of a crime to not take the best player at 1-1. I think if the objective is to inject as much talent at all levels across several picks into your system, then there's not a Steven Strasburg or Bryce Harper that's, you know, a mile in front of the field in a mile and a half race at the top, then you do some creative stuff. I don't have a problem with it, and I'm not trying to stick up for the Nationals or say, you know, Mike DiBartolo is absolutely the person that deserves to get this job going forward. I'm just saying that I think he took a process that he thinks should have been applied in past drafts that have been wildly unsuccessful, and applied it in a way that made sense to him. And the result is not just that you get a really good player at 1-1 who, you know, maybe he doesn't have the highest upside at the top of the draft, but you get better players than you might have gotten with your second, third, and fourth picks because you've got more money to induce them to come into your system and inject it with talent.
What does this pick say for his future? Does this mean that he is pretty confident that the interim tag is going to come off at the end of the year and he's taking over as general manager?
No, I don't think there's any way to know that. I think he is very much auditioning for the job, and he's the only candidate who knows ownership, who knows the franchises, what the franchise does well, what it hasn't done well, the reasons for all that. He's got inside knowledge that other people don't have, and maybe that gives him a leg up. Maybe that puts him behind. I don't know. I'll say two things. One, I believe very strongly that they will be doing the franchise and the fan base a disservice if they don't do a thorough search of outside candidates, not just because you need to hire someone from outside, but can we learn how other people think? Can we see how other organizations work? Can we understand why we've lagged behind in X, Y, and Z areas? If at the end of the day, you learn some of that from outside sources and you think that Mike DiBartolo is best equipped to deal with the problems at hand, that's fine to land there. The second thing I would say is and this will seem out of left field, but it's really analogous. Like when Ted Leonsis finally parted with George McPhee in 2014 as GM of the Caps, he's the only GM that Leonsis had ever had. He promoted Brian McClellan to the big chair. Brian McClellan, who had ridden shotgun to George McPhee for, 15 years or whatever it was as his assistant GM. At that time, I was like, are you kidding me? You go through the emotion and the tumult of finally parting ways with your forever GM and you land on the guy who was sitting next to him the whole time. That's crazy. What I learned in that process subsequently is that McClellan was better than anybody else able to say to Leonsis, here's why we are where we are. This is what we've done wrong in the past. This is what we've done well. Here's how I would improve the things that we haven't done well, and I've seen why it hasn't worked. That's Mike DiBartolo's best case, is that I've seen how we've made mistakes, and I know how to fix them.
Barry Svrluga with us here on G&D. So I like all your points there, Barry, when it comes to Willits. And if it's just a binary baseball discussion, I think reasonable minds can agree or disagree on who the best player is in a process where we don't see any results for years when any of these kids are picked, right? I mean, there's just more development that's got to happen, more maturity that's got to happen. It's not like basketball or football where the results are more instant gratification. It's hard for me not to ask the questions, though, about money, about slot, about Boris. Just address those things that went through your mind, or maybe they didn't at all.
No, 1,000% they have to run through your mind. I mean, that's this questions. It's we've been taught to question right. This organization's
and
thinking,
that's it.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So across all those points. Now, I would say, DiBartolo and his people are arguing this is the guy that we had 1-1 regardless, kind of in a vacuum. And that's, as your point, Danny, like if that's a baseball discussion, that's a baseball discussion. We can, argue that over a beer and have a good time doing it. And we won't know the results for a while. I think the Boris question is interesting because I was told that not only were they very, very quiet with the Boris candidates at the top of the draft, which would be Holiday and Kate Anderson, the LSU pitcher, they were not in touch with the Boris people in the picks lower. So that kind of tells me that there is a little bit of, or there's potentially a little bit of like, look, we've been kind of hamstrung by this guy for a long time on many fronts. We're facing situations with Mackenzie Gore, James Wood, and Dylan Cruz that we're going to have to deal with it in the future. Are we always going to be having to trade these guys at their 4.5 or 5.5 years of service because we know they're not going to sign extensions? Like, that's a really, really kind of sickening cycle to be on. I do not know that they just flat out said no Boris this time. I just know that they weren't in touch with the Boris clients that were near the slots where they were drafting. And I think, when we come out of the draft, that's something that has to be answered.
Do you think that when they looked at this team and where it's at right now, we talked last week about this, Barry, and you said, this team is probably further away than you thought it was. And I think just about every Nationals fan, people to cover the team would probably say the same thing, that when we looked at this year, there's no way that we thought it was going to be worse than the last 2 years, and it looks like it's going to be that way. Do you think that they looked at what's happened on the field this season and said, okay, we'll go with the high schooler, you know, whether it was going to be Holiday or ultimately goes with Willits? Do you think that played into the selection, or you think they just truly went best player on their board?
I don't. Well, I think two things, Toby. I think the whole thing about the slot plays into not a question just about best player on their board, which they're saying it is. But I think it's more complex than that, because I think the larger question is injecting as much talent into your system as possible. And so if you can get a really good player at 1-1 and then better players at your second, third, and fourth picks, like, that's now you've got, if you did it in a war kind of rating and say Willits is 3 WAR and the other guys are 2 WAR, 1 WAR, 1 WAR, like, when you add up that equation, if you had taken Holiday, who might be 3.5 WAR, but you don't have as much to fill in below, then you haven't added as much talent, if that makes any sense to you. So I think it's not just about best player. In terms of where the major league team is, like, this season is lost. It's about the development, continued development of Wood, Gore, Abrams. There's the Gore trade question coming up. That'll be really interesting to see how DeBartolo handles that. But I think you have to think of it, if you're in Mike DeBartolo's chair, you're not just thinking about the 26 guys that are going to start the second half at home against San Diego. Like, you've got to look at the entire organization. And I think I was talking to somebody from a different team not too long ago, and they said one thing that is really hard for an organization is if there was a disconnect between what the internal expectations are and what is actually possible. And I think what some people at the Nationals believe is that Mike Rizzo and Dave Martinez thought they were further along than they were, and the reality then makes it that hard to deal with. So I think this is kind of a reset, because you're trying to take one draft, make it so productive that it makes up for, or helps make up for, years of underperformance in the draft. It's actually going to take more time than that, of course. And you want to, it becomes a really interesting question the next off season, because you really, if you don't trade Gore, you've only got 2 seasons to try to be competitive with him. Then you're starting the clock on Wood, which that same point, 4.5 years of service time, would be in 2028. Like, when is there going to be enough critical mass of talent around those guys for the major league team to be successful? I think we're still at the point where, like, stock the system, stock the system, stock the system is really the answer.
Barry Svrluga with us here on Grant and Danny, Toby in for GP. So to that end, Barry, less than 3 weeks now to the trade deadline. It's July 14th, I believe it's the 31st of July this year, so 17 days away. What do you expect the next, you know, just short of 3 weeks to look like here for this organization? I think last year they didn't trade Kyle Finnegan. Now, through unbelievable happenstance, they got him back at a discount, so I guess credit to them, but not really. It's, you know, like, you stub your toe to avoid the, like, it's like, remember Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, when he, like, went to tie his shoe and the saw went over his head, and it was the penitent man, shall pass, and he knelt by accident. That's right, kind of how they got right. Kyle Finnegan back, but I digress. And that was an overruled thing, right, where it sounded like the people at the front office wanted to trade him, and Rizzo said, no, who's going to close the game? I don't know that I care about that for a team that's going to lose 95 games, but again, I digress. What's the next couple of weeks going to look like, and maybe an acknowledgement of that State of the Union, or is it a, we can't afford to start selling off because people aren't coming anyway? What are you expecting here the next almost 3 weeks?
I don't think it'll have anything to do with potential at the gate. I mean, I think If you can find a taker for Kyle Finnegan, you do. The problem there is his underlying numbers are scary. Like, you again, talking to somebody from another team, like, the fly ball rate is high. He doesn't strike out a lot of guys. You probably would be trading him to a team who would prefer to use him in the seventh, you know, kind of sixth, seventh as a bridge guy rather than a closer. He, of course, gets the counting stats from being the closer on a lousy Nats team. Like, they would value him a little bit higher than maybe other teams would. It'll be really interesting to see what happens there. Gore is the most interesting question, and again, I asked Mike DeBartolo this in St. Louis the first day, like, how do you handle that? And he, you know, kind of deftly was like, look, it's my second day on the job. We haven't gotten that far. We've got the draft coming up. And he did indicate that that's going to involve ownership. My gut is that Mike DiBartolo is going to listen and listen very hard, because I think that he thinks the team is a little bit further away from contending. And we know that he was one of the people that pushed hard for the very difficult Soto trade in 2022. Now, Mike Rizzo had to do that deal. He was the one who executed it. But the thinking behind it was, we have heard Juan Soto say he wants to go to free agency in so many words. It is our duty to maximize what we can get from him. Is that keeping him here and having him play out, hit second or third every night and play here on a losing team? Or is that flipping him for players that could help us in the future? I think we'd all agree that, you know, if Mackenzie Gore, C.J. Abrams, and James Wood were not on this team, like, who would we be watching every night? You know, it's just I think that's a little glimpse into his thinking. And then, you know, can you flip a Soroka or somebody like that? Like, that's the other, you know, you're looking at the rental guys, like, can you get anything for them? I think they'll be very aggressive in that regard. But there's no real, like, Lane Thomas candidate out there who had a couple years of service time left, and they did really well in that trade with Cleveland for him. I think it's the rentals, Finnegan, and then the real big question about Gore.
I mean, you mentioned Gore multiple times. To me, if you're looking at if Mike Rizzo were still here and he opted to choose to move Gore, I think it'd be a little bit different, because you have a full-time general manager. To me, when you have a guy with the staying power and the cornerstone-like piece that he can be, granted, I understand that they're not likely to sign him to extension, but would you let an interim general manager trade him away if you're ownership?
It's an ownership question, and that's why I think Mike said, you know, I've got to ask them. But it's the general manager's job to say, here is why, baseball-wise, I think this makes sense. If, indeed, Mike DiBartolo gets a return package that he thinks makes sense. And I don't know that he will, and I don't know how aggressively he will pursue it or other people will come to him. I can tell you that Mackenzie Gore's standing in the game has never been higher. He was he's the third pick in the draft at one point. Like, he's always been highly thought of, but now he's established. Like, I had a hitter from another team say, in two years, he'll be top three pitcher in baseball. Like he would bring back potentially, especially with the potential to use him in three postseasons, quite a bit of money. I mean, it's quite a bit in prospect return or actual established player return. So it's a really, really, really interesting question. I don't think it can be answered like binary yes or no. Oh, I would do this. Oh, I wouldn't do this, unless we know what the return package is.
Barry, final question for me real quick. What do you make of the Mike Rizzo buying beers for people down at Walters and Penn Quarter Sports Tavern tonight? Like, I think it's a cool thank you send off for Mike Rizzo. It's also funny, just right across from the ballpark where you were just fired from, you're buying beers for people a week and a day after you were just fired.
I feel like it's like he's handled it the right way. Yeah. Like, he knows he had that job a lot longer than a lot of people have them. I mean, you know, 16 years in that chair is a really, really long time. They had a lot of success for a good stretch. It's been tougher more recently, but I just thought it was a cool acknowledgement to the fans that, look, I had a real connection to this city for close to 20 years, including his time as scouting director. And it's, you know, he made his money. Don't worry about Mike Rizzo. He'll be fine. Buying some beers for the fans is kind of a cool thing to do.
Barry, thank you as always, man. Have a great week.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me.
See you, my friend. There he goes. That is Barry Sferlugo of the Washington Post.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
David Aldridge will join the program at 3. Welcome back. It's Grant Danny here on The Fan. Toby in for GP. 800-636-1067 is the phone number. You heard from Terry. Audio has been played. Answers have been given. I want your first reaction. We got plenty of angles on this thing today, Tobes, but at first blush, you heard from Terry McLaurin. I know you were stuck in traffic like the rest of us were. What were you thinking when you heard that?
Yeah, so I've kind of dismissed some of these reports that we've seen of, oh, Terry's frustrated, Terry is getting a little bit annoyed, all the things that we've seen over the last couple of months. Can't deny those reports anymore, Danny. You heard it from Terry McLaurin himself that he is frustrated. He even came out and said as much, saying, this is coming from me. This is what I'm thinking. I am frustrated with this process. And to hear it get to that point is disappointing. I agree with the words that he used. Disappointing, I think, is the word, because there's so much goodwill around this organization right now. And when I heard JP and B. Mitch say that they were going to have this press conference later with Terry and the media was going to be gathered at Eastern Motors, I didn't think anything was going to be said. So it was, okay, business as usual. We'll continue to get ready for our show. Terry will probably say nothing about the contract. We'll move on. Oh, we got Art Monk to talk about. We find out he's having his number retired. So it's kind of like, oh, okay, nothing's going to happen here. And then you hear just immediately the disappointment in the tone in his voice and the frustration. And he sounded hurt by the ongoing negotiations. And that's part of pro football. That's what happens, right? When you have negotiations, and like we talked about, this is a little bit different of one. If Terry McLaurin were 27, 26, this deal's probably already done. But I think the age part plays into it. And I think Terry was especially hurt by the idea that I'm not just some 30-year-old. I'm a unique circumstance in that I came into the league a little bit later. I didn't play as much at Ohio State. I've been incredibly productive regardless of the quarterback play. And last year I had my best season, but it wasn't like it was an anomaly. It was an anomaly in terms of the touchdowns he scored. But it wasn't as if, you know, Terry went for 1,200 yards all of a sudden when he'd only gone for 800 the previous years. He's gone over 1,000 almost every year of his career. And so it's disappointing that it got to this point. And to hear the thing that really opened my eyes in this, Danny, is to hear that there haven't been talks in over a month. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty obvious that the Commanders are playing hardball. That's what that means, right? That there's a contract that they've given him, because I don't think it's something that they've sat on their hands and haven't even had discussions. They clearly had some. He talked about being at OTAs and it felt like there was an ongoing communication. And then once that kind of slowed down, he was like, all right, I'm going to get out of here. When that stopped, there hasn't been communication since. That's a little bit odd to me. And it's clear that they've come up with a number. We don't know what the number is. We don't know what Terry's asking for.
Right.
But it's pretty clear that they're not really in the same ballpark on that number. and the Commanders have not budged. Now, we're getting into just a week away from training camp when veterans report on July 22nd. Does that deadline spark a little more discussion? Does today's conversation with Terry spark a little more discussion? I certainly hope so, but it was eye-opening to hear Terry McLaurin himself say, hey, I'm frustrated and disappointed where we're at right now.
800-636-1067, your reaction to Terry McLaurin press conference today. Kurt Ashburn, you're first up, man. What's up? You're on the Fan.
Well, I agree with you, gents. That was an interesting choice of words by one of the last callers in the last show. What does the team think when they see this? What does the team think when they see a guy go in who's got a valid contract, says, I'm not working for the contract I signed, the rest, and I want more, and he gets it? Well, then they should do the same thing. You know, spare me all this. I had to work so hard, and I had to do all this. Everybody did. You know, I didn't get to finish college because I had to go to the military in Vietnam. That's just the way it goes. I don't expect any treatment. So as much as I'm an ardent fan of Terry's and have been since he got here, he can hit the road. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Kurt. Appreciate that. 800-636-1067. Hit the road thing is interesting. I'd like him to play here, but I guess I understand the point, question mark. Lance, Annapolis, first reaction to Terry McLaurin.
I mean, I would never say hit the road to Terry McLaurin. That's impossible. Without him last year, this is a totally different team. I mean, by the time that McLaurin and Daniels started to vibe together, I mean, the clutch catch he had against the Bengals, from there out, he's just reliable. I think what people take for granted, we all know that he hasn't had any, you know, consistency at the quarterback position, but I think we tend to forget that we really had nobody at quarterback, and his numbers probably had suffered. Obviously, his numbers had suffered from that. You know, so going back to the game when Heinicke just kind of flipped the ball up in the air and he literally took it from the guy. He's a stud. I think we just take for granted how good he really is because we've only seen three quarters of a season of what he can really look like. Just imagine how good he can be next year.
Lance, thank you, buddy. 800-636-1067. Remember, David Aldridge joins us at 3. Got to make some heads and tails of this. Toby, you said it already. I did not expect this today. So, you know, I was doing stuff with my kids this morning, getting them ready for, you know, for their outings and all the different things that happened today, the baby at home and stuff. So I'm kind of in and out, and I had heard, you know, via Twitter or whatever in a moment to check my phone, hey, Terry McLaurin's going to talk. I don't know what I thought, but I didn't think this was coming today. So this is obviously, you know, very heavy stuff. Mike Alexandria, here from Terry McLaurin. What do you think?
It's very surprising. Thanks for taking my call, but Terry last year, they say that was one of his best years, but it was games where Terry, you know, it almost felt like he wasn't on the field. A couple catches, and that's it. We would love him back, but I think he's looking at that DK Metcalf number, and he's like, I'm a better player than him, and I want that or more. And I don't think the organization is willing to give that. And that's all I got to say. We would love him back, though. I feel like he's a great player. But gotcha. I don't know if the organization is giving them that.
Appreciate you, Mike. If somebody brought this up yesterday, I apologize. I can't remember who, Tobes. But it may be more, and I've seen this suggested now, maybe more about the length of the contract than the number. He wouldn't get into specifics. I get that. What did you make of that? What do you think of there?
I think the year has to be more than the number because the number is pretty obvious, right? The number, I don't think there's much discussion about the number in terms of it's maybe 1 to 2 to 3 million. And at that point, I think you're more willing to do it. But a year discussion, whether he's wanting 4 and you're willing to go 3, which by the way is what I would do. I would do 3 years. If he's wanting 4, then I can understand playing a little more hardball. If we're haggling over 33 and a half versus 31 or whatever the number may be, I can't get on board with. I can understand haggling over a year where you might think that he's got maybe 3 seasons and you're willing to understand that the 3 years on top of this year, that maybe you're not going to get as good of a player in that fourth year. I can't have 2 years of a guy getting 30 plus million when I feel like he's going to be diminished goods. But I don't know exactly what the holdup is, but I would tend to believe it's years over money amounts.
800-636-1067. Someone drops off. Try to get yourself in. Talk to Ben, then you talk to us. It's Grant and Danny here on the Fan. Toby in for GP. You heard from Terry McLaurin. We'll be locked and loaded on this pretty much throughout the show today. You heard directly from 17 himself. You heard the emotion. You heard the frustration. You heard kind of a state of the union here, and he does not sound pleased. We're taking your reactions next before David Aldridge joins us at 3.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Speaking of divorces.
More?
Terry McLaurin.
Oh, there you go.
Washington Commanders. They going to make this work for the kids or what? What was the reaction in town to that press conference? I'll just tell you that in Atlanta watching that, my first thought was, I knew Terry McLaurin was this upset because his agent had kept making it very, very clear to anyone who had listened, mostly like Jeremy Fowler over and over again. He kept taking the bait and just posting stuff. And Jordan Schultz was the other guy that like you couldn't go 3 days without him saying how mad Terry McLaurin was. I guess I just thought he would high road it a little bit more than he did or no sell it. Maybe there just wouldn't be as much honesty and candor as we got. And don't hear that as he shouldn't have done that. I'm glad that he did. Don't hear that as Terry McLaurin did anything wrong. I don't think he did. I think this is a guy that feels like he's earned his money. He's a professional. He's a grown-up. This is not a dispute from someone who is in the wrong in terms of the play over the last few years. He's earned the right to do whatever he wants as far as I'm concerned. So I'm not upset at him, but I was just surprised because it's Terry McLaurin. It's the antithesis of the diva wide receiver. It's the least likely guy in the recent history of the team to be the squeaky wheel, being the squeaky wheel. It was just jarring.
So I'll try to give you as many recaps, because we've done a lot on it over the last few days, as you'd imagine.
Yeah, I just kind of mean like the fan reaction.
Fan reaction, I'd say 80%+ is just, I don't care about any detail. Pay him! Ah! Right? Which is, I think, the intent there. Right? Because there are only so many, the way I expressed it, there are only so many levers you can pull when you're on that side, because the CBA is against you. You want to fix that, talk to a union rep, and get to fighting. But it's not set up for a player to be able to win in these kinds of circumstances, right, with holdouts and some of the mechanisms you have. This was the last big public pressure campaign that you could do, at an impromptu press conference in an Eastern Motors commercial.
Well, this is the only thing. By the way, Eastern Motors, attaboy. I mean, tip of the cap.
I knew what they were doing.
I haven't thought about Eastern Motors since 15 years ago when Clinton Portis was wearing the yellow jersey. Well, what an idea for them.
Sure. Like, here's the deal. We'll let people know that your job's your credit, and we'll have Terry do a 45-minute presser with the Easterns in the background.
That was brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, like getting the word out to everyone in the media. Hey, come on down. You can talk to Terry McLaurin about Eastern Motors and other stuff.
And other things.
If there's anything you want to ask him other than Eastern Motors, you can do that too. Really well done.
Yeah, so it was, I mean, it was a wide-ranging thing. It probably should have been better managed, where I found out about his Italian vacation, some other stuff as we were meandering around. Like, it probably could have been like, I'll give a statement and cut it off. But, you know, my own reaction, a number of things jumped out at me. You know, I didn't love it. I'm not mad at Terry. Totally allowed to do what you want. You're trying to get as much as you can. I don't begrudge that. But there was a lot of, how, you know, I have to take care of my family. Family's very taken care of. You have so many millions, many more coming to you. You want your market value. You want as much as you can get.
Yeah,
I respect that.
I didn't hear the family part. I just heard he wants to be respected. He feels like he's not being valued. I think those are very reasonable things to say when your value is pretty clear based on the market.
Yeah.
If they're not offering you that, then you should feel disrespected and devalued. As a guy who has been, to call him a model citizen isn't good enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
There is nobody more conscientious, nobody who's a better team player. This is what you want your kid to be. If right now as a father, I got two boys now as of a week ago, I can sign on the dotted line and they turn into Terry McLaurin. I'm not talking about playing in the NFL. I'm talking about as a human being, I'm sprinting to that piece of paper with a pen to sign. That's all you could ever want as right. a parent. And so to be that guy, and oh, by the way, fringe top 10 receiver in the league. I've always kind of said probably not top 10, maybe a little bit outside of that, but regardless, and now it's your turn to get paid. The market has spoken this offseason. It's time. I mean, that's kind of how it works. I find it to be ballsy. Maybe that's not the best word. Bold for Adam Peters and company to be willing to go toe-to-toe here with the face of the franchise.
Yeah, it's interesting, right?
And the fan favorite. I mean, he could do, Peters, who, he's my guy. I think he's outstanding. I don't even have a problem with him playing hardball right now on his side of the ledger, by the way. I think
asked for a GM, and he's GMing.
Yeah. He's mostly right, I think, with what he's doing currently. But I say that to only bring up, he could do no wrong. Like, this is the inanimate object against the immovable force, or whatever that saying is.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, in Adam we trust, best GM ever.
Let Peters cook.
Can't wait till, you know, Adam Peters makes the next move. And Terry McLaurin's your guy, and he's going, yeah, we could go Superman, Batman this thing. Why not? Pretty bold. This is the one move he's got right now where I would say you're going to have some people a little bit upset at you. But
right.
He's not backing down.
In the short term, yeah. I mean, but again, we looked at the track record both of not only him, but of Newmark and company in Detroit, where it was a year ago yesterday that Amon-Ra St. Brown signed his extension. They signed Penei Sewell. These things take a while. So, like, everyone's like, they're doing so much damage for a second. But then once a contract gets done, I mean, Brandon Ayuk, the opposite of Terry McLaurin, couldn't be less professional, is flirting openly on Instagram Lives with other players and declaring that he wants a trade and is as malcontent as possible. He gets a contract, everything's fine. But it took forever for Nick Bosa, it took forever for Trent Williams, took forever for George Kittle. I mean, you go back through history, this is just a process. So, I'm not upset at that part of it at all. I guess here I'm not upset at anybody. Like, McLaurin should be advocating for himself. His agent should be doing it, I think, behind the scenes. But get as much as you can. This is your last chance to get a big one. So go get your big contract. No problem there. The team should try to pay you as little as possible. No problem there. Everyone's doing what they're supposed to do.
Well, I also like that the team never does anything publicly anymore.
Right.
And I say that as a fan talking to you right now on the air. As a media member, it's infuriating. I mean, I hate it. It is really hard to get information. And even basic stuff. Like, here's an example I'll give you. I don't think this throws anybody under the bus. Like, during free agency, texting people in the front office and people around the team, when they sign a guy, and we're on the air live talking to thousands of people, the idea of just saying, like, hey, congrats, nice move. Is this guy going to play more D-tackle or D-end? Like, there's not a team I've ever been around where someone just doesn't answer that question to educate you, to help educate the masses, because it's just good for everybody.
Yeah, they'll go, we're excited to have him.
Right, but like an example from the past with Kendall Fuller. Now we think he's a slot corner. He's going to play in the nickel, might play outside on the boundary a little bit. But like, there's no state secrets here. All you're doing is educating so that you have, at the end of the day, like a smarter fan base and expectations are more set and reasonable. There's really nothing to be lost. But, you know, that current regime, it's like, hey, thanks. And they've made it very clear right. Every step of the way. And it's not just one person. This is all of them. We will not be speaking about anything media-wise.
This is the way we're doing
this
it.
This is how they
on.
Do it.
.800-636-1067 is the phone number. Toby brought this up the other day. The first preseason game with that combined joint practice work up there at New England. The joint practices, I have long been an advocate for those. It took Washington forever to kind of get on board with that's what the world was doing. Yes, please. That's where the best work comes. Not the preseason games anymore where you show nothing. You know, you're basically getting out there for a series, blocking once, running a couple of routes, then going to sit down with the towel around your neck and you get interviewed by Clinton Portis. That ain't it. The real work is those joint practices where you can run scenarios, you get looks against other teams, that not necessarily scheming you up, but instead of just going against your guys where you know everything, you go up against the strangers, that adrenaline, but it's still controlled. That's what I'm all about. So for me, the point of no return, or the point that I'll say, all right, this is now hurting us, hurting Terry, hurting the team, every part about it, where I'll just, my emotions, there'll just be more of it. Monday, August 18th. That's the second preseason game. If Terry isn't locked and loaded by then, I'm now going, I need to change my eye line on this.
Sure.
Because all along, I've just sort of thought, we have a GM. He's currently doing GM things. Really not much to see here. And I know that's harsh and sounds diminishing. It's not. Terry's going to get a lot of money. He'll be here. He'll be their number one option in the receiving game. And we will go forward. It may not be the exact dollar amount he wants right now. It may not be the perfect amount of guaranteed money. But my point is, team's got a lot of leverage. Terry's really good. Everybody recognizes that. The GM is currently GMing. We should all just act accordingly. That's been my view. If we get to the second preseason game and that hasn't happened, it means that the animus might be genuine. Because remember, we've seen, not Terry, but we've seen players go, I never want to play here again. Trade me. They get signed. I will never play in this. Oh, what's that? Sure, Cleveland Browns. I'll sign my name, Miles Garrett, on the dotted line. You've seen it a million times. You'll see it a million more. The rhetoric is just that. It's rhetoric. It's public pressure. It'll mean if we're still not done here by the middle of August, then I might need to realign myself and my way of thinking, Tobes. That might actually mean he's on the, you actually do want to be traded, or I don't want to play here, or now I'm furious, or you've lost the goodwill. You lost your benefit of the doubt here. You've taken one of your special prizes. You've taken the guy that is the example of the organization to everybody and turned it sour. You've ruined it. If he's not there by the second preseason game, I'll feel that way.
Which, by the way, too, if you're looking at, you said August 18th is the date of that game.
Mm-hmm.
August 21st, they have another joint practice here in Ashburn against the Ravens.
Right.
I think that's incredible time for work to get done.
Yes.
Nobody's going to play in that third preseason game of note, right? That's kind of where you evaluate who's going to make the back end of the roster. But those joint practices are going to be probably the best work that's at the end of camp. That's the best work they're going to get in before they make their final cuts and then start gearing up for week one. And if you're not signing until August 18th, then there's a real shot that you're not able to go fully out in that joint practice.
Mm-hmm.
And so that to me is the point here. I'm a little bit earlier, like I said, I'm the first preseason game basically when they go up for those joint practices in New England, because that's where a lot of work gets done. And you're right. I think these things are fantastic because it allows you to get a different look. You know, when you go against the same guy in practice every single day and it's the same group, you know the little idiosyncrasies, the little things that every single player does. And so you know how to be able to beat that specific guy. But you never play that guy on the actual football field because they're on your team. So to be able to go up against different guys, like, you know, eventually Terry McLaurin is going to have clips against Marshawn Lattimore, assuming he shows up to camp. And he's going to have clips against Trey Amos. But he's going to learn those guys, and that's going to happen. I need to see what he looks like against Christian Gonzalez and those guys up there, right? So I think this is a fantastic opportunity for him to get work in and get ready for week one. If you're missing those, that to me is the time where it's like, all right, this might be a bit of a problem because now you're starting to impact how the early season is going to go.
800-636-1067. When do you kind of change your alert status? When do you kind of say, hey, this is now hurting Terry, hurting the team? This is now more than just the normal course of business. Could be yesterday. Could be a week ago. Could be in a month. What's your date? Let's go to Ryan in D.C. first up on this. Ryan, what's up, bud?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, pal.
Hey, listen, I know, and obviously just reiterating what you guys both said, the first preseason game, the second preseason game, I think that's when the heads start to come loose a little bit. But at the end of the day, I think the deadline was when Garrett Wilson just signed that massive contract and kind of, you know, resetting the market. I mean, you see it with the cornerbacks being signed. Surtain signed early, got him for good market value. Obviously, you know, in business, you don't pay guys based on emotion. But when you got a guy, one of two or three that's, you know, been with the team since, you know, the Redskins and moving forward into the Commanders, you know, you got to factor that in a little bit. And Terry being the player he was for, you know, the majority, you know, if not every season, only one season under 1,000 yards, you got to pay the guy. We want him here as fans. He's obviously an integral part of what we're doing. A young JD5 thrown to him is electric. You know, the fan base needs it. City needs it. We have faith in Adam Peters, though. I know he's working his magic back there. But my deadline was when Garrett Wilson signed because I'm like, oh, boy, you know, where do we go from here?
Interesting. No, I hear you, man. Appreciate the phone call. Steve, Virginia, when do you start to change? When do you start to escalate the rhetoric here?
What's up, Steve?
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. Enjoy your show.
Appreciate you.
I think it's right now because in all honesty, I have an issue with Terry because he's signed a contract and he should honor it. I think he's a great receiver, but let his play on the field do the talking. If he's a free agent next year and he has another great year, he's going to be able to demand almost any salary he wants.
Appreciate you, dude. So just I've heard that sentiment a couple times, Tobes, and just to clarify from folks, and I'm not ripping Steve, but that's pretty much just not, I don't want to say it's not done because guys become free agents. It does happen. They're free agent receivers every year. But if there's any interest in signing the guy from the team's perspective, and there is, by the way, otherwise this wouldn't be happening to some degree, you don't go into the last year of a deal without any kind of understanding that I'm either walking away at the end of this thing or I'd like to be here. Terry said he's trying to be here and he's trying to get that deal done the same way the team is, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's just pretty common practice. I understand the sentiment. But again, it's just totally different from anything that we ever experienced. But yeah, I mean, he's under contract for this season to his point. And maybe if push comes to shove, like you've pointed out plenty of times, there are franchise tags available. Maybe you could go that route. But I think if you're starting to go that route, you could end up getting even messier than what we've seen this week.
Yeah, messy. Like, my solutions are not clean, fun solutions. A lot of people would be pissed off. But that's part of the business element of things. Like, can you compartmentalize that and go play football? I think Terry's a professional. He probably could. But would he want to? Would you get the same engaged guy? Hard to say. Let's go to Tommy Ashburn. When do you start to change your tune a little bit when it comes to Terry? What date?
Hey, guys. I love your show, especially Toby. I love your knowledge on baseball. I got two things to say. Number one, I'm not worried about it at all. I think he will get signed. He won't get what he wants. One of the things that I hear on talk radio is what he's done for us and what a great player he's been. I get that. He's a great component to our team. But he's 30, and this is a business, and they're looking forward. They got all kinds of numbers on people who are 30 years old or more receivers. They got all the data in the world. I think Adam knows what he's doing. I think this thing will be drawn out. Adam's MO in San Francisco has been a lot of last-minute deals. And the only thing I didn't like about – one final thing. The only thing I didn't like about Terry's press conference, which I thought was terrific, when he said it really wasn't about the money. Hey, man, when people say it's really not about the money, hey, it's about the money.
I believe it's about the money. Yeah, thanks, Tom.
Yeah, it's definitely about the money. And maybe it's not specifically like the dollar amount. It's more so about what he talked about earlier, saying his worth and the respect and stuff. But yeah, it's definitely about the money.
Yeah, that's how you show it, right? Let's go to Richard, Fort Washington. When do you start to kind of ramp up the rhetoric here? When this is just business, and now it's no longer just business, and it's cause for real concern?
Hey, Danny, Toby, how you guys doing today?
Good, buddy.
What's going on, man?
Good. Thanks for taking my call. Well, my my meter is not at the point of no return, but I'm very concerned, like, right now. I think it should be right now. I know the first caller mentioned Garrett Wilson. So, you know, I'm worried about Terry's demeanor. You know, I'm worried about him saying, hey, you know, this guy, you know, came through Ohio State after me. I pretty much paved the way for him. My stats are just as good or not or better than him. And so what, he's 5 years younger than me. That doesn't mean that he'll be more productive than me. So, you know, I just need Terry very motivated, like right now, so he can go into the season on a high note.
Appreciate you, dude. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067 is the number. You could say it's right now, like Richard just did. And I buy that, by the way. So, I think if you believe that this gets worked out, all of those negative emotions and all the things we saw from Terry the other day, believe that that'll be gone. You know what I mean? Like, if the right offer with the right commas and the right numbers are on that piece of paper that he gets to sign, he'll be right as rain. He'll be tap dancing mm-hmm. to work, right?
Yeah.
But if it gets drawn out and becomes more antagonistic and you get another month where they're not talking or whatever the is real or not there, I don't know, then it might not be the case. I don't know that a pro like him who's gone through what he has here would be so soured by the business of a contract negotiation that he would just quit on you and tank and not be a good teammate at any point in time. I don't think that's because the whole argument of paying him is that that's not who he is, right? He's not
Correct. The
guy that's going to say, you know what, I'm done with this. I'm going to read a book on the sideline, or I'm going to put a finger in the face of my quarterback who's getting hit a million times and yell at him to throw me the football and tantrum this way and that way and be on my 15th team in 3 years. That's not who that dude is. So you believe that's not who that dude is, then why would he start being that with this bit of another bit of adversity coming his way?
Yeah, I don't think that that's going to be the case. My thing is, I think that this will get done. I just don't want it to affect the actual football on the field, because you need to
that's
be able to get better as the season goes on. Remember last year, they got off to a bit of a slow start, and then by the end, Terry even said this in his press conference, said, you know, we got off to a slow start, by the end we were cooking. Yeah, that's what you want to start with, right? You want to start kind of on page, you know, whatever page,
yeah.
Not just starting again on phase one of things. So I'd prefer that they get this thing done as soon as possible just for that reason, but I do think he ultimately gets this thing done.
Jump right now to the Rood guest hotline. Rood, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Our guy from Sharp Football, our pal Mr. Warren Sharp. Warren, what's up, buddy? Congratulations on the review of the 20, or the review, I'm sure, the release of the 2025 Football Almanac. Love it, dude.
Thank you so much for having me. Really happy to be done with it. It's a labor of love, but always great to have it in people's hands. And it's up on Amazon now as well if you want to buy the printed copy, but I've got a secret offer here for you, just your listeners. If you use the code GRANT, you can get it for $1 up at sharp.football. Go to sharp.football. You can get the PDF. It's regularly $30. It'll knock off $29 off that price to $1 for you guys.
I'm going to use that right now myself.
I will be using that as well.
I love that so much. So as we kind of get through that process, I think it's such an amazing thing. Your 2025 football previews, you said, available now. What the data that goes into putting this together with all the roster turnover, how do you do that? How do you sort of reconcile what a team was with what a team is coming up?
Well, the first thing I do is I strip away wins and losses from last year. I absolutely reject the notion of John Madden's you are what your record says you are. I look at why teams played the way they did last year, what went into it. Were they playing with injuries? Were they playing with bad coaching that's not going to be different? How did they accumulate these wins? Were they winning a lot of one-score games? In your case, you went 8-4 in one-score games. You know, how are you accumulating these wins? And then I like to look at that roster turnover, as you mentioned, and the coaching staff turnover. What players were lost? Were they any good? What players are gained? What do I think of those players? What do my draft expert think about the players that they drafted, and then just judge not just what I think a team is, but then it's a matter of, well, how good are they compared to the rest of the teams that are going to be on their schedule, because that's really at the end of the day what's going to drive the wins and losses of 2025. It's not just whether a team is good or not, it's how good are they compared to the other teams on their schedule. So it's getting a good understanding of that schedule as well, that the league gives out to teams in May. And then it's just a combination of all these factors. So it's a lot of work. It's months of work, but it's definitely put me in a real good position to have some strong thoughts on various different teams, either being good or bad this year.
What were some of your takeaways after taking a look back at Washington's season last year?
The biggest thing to me that I was blown away by, and I knew this in the moment, but I didn't know it to this degree, was that EPA that they gained on their fourth down plays. I mean, they did not go for it. Teams will remember, or fans will remember, how great Washington was on fourth downs and instantly just think that Dan Quinn went for it more often. And we were great because Dan Quinn was just such a gambler on fourth down. No, they actually went for it less with Dan Quinn than they did in prior years with Ron Rivera, etc. The difference is that they converted 87% of their fourth downs, which was the best rate of any team in modern NFL history. And what was the most mind-boggling thing to me when I went back and watched every single one of those fourth down conversions using film study, they did not have a single quarterback sneak. And you and I know that this hack for fourth downs, especially fourth and ones, is using a quarterback sneak or a tush push nowadays, as the Philadelphia Eagles do all the time. And it's just crazy to me that they could have that much success without using a single tush push. The Commanders gained nearly 55 EPA on their fourth down plays. That ranked better than 23 NFL teams this past season for every single one of their offensive plays. Like, adding up all the EPA gained by every single offense for 23 teams, the Commanders just on fourth down exceeded that EPA. They had more EPA than even the Kansas City Chiefs, who obviously went to the Super Bowl. So it was the most efficient modern NFL team on fourth downs. And that was one of the things that clearly stood out to me the most, and is that unfortunately is going to scream regression to some extent this upcoming season. The question is, how far does that regress? I don't think it drops to the league average because of the creativity of the play calling and the quarterback in Jaden Daniels. I still think it should be above average results, but it's going to drop back. So then what does that mean that you guys are going to have to do in terms of avoiding those fourth down situations? You're going to have to be better on early downs. Otherwise, you're going to score fewer points in 2025, just because some of those drives where you were converting at an 87% rate, you're going to be giving the ball to your opponent.
Warren Sharp with us here on Grant and Danny, Toby in for GP. So we've been talking about this anecdotally, Warren, an awful lot, where you go, 12 wins was awesome. NFC title game was awesome. We had a great time. We haven't done that much around here for 30 years. But Hail Marys don't always happen. The kicker for the Giants doesn't always get hurt before the pregame. And Malik Nabers doesn't always drop a pass. A Saints play, I think it was Juwan Johnson, doesn't always drop a two-point conversion to get you a win. Sometimes those things regress, and those are just kind of anecdotal type things. You mentioned the fourth down percentage. What else might regress here or might look different year over year, even if the team hasn't gotten worse on paper?
Yeah, one area is, like, I don't know that the personnel defensively is going to be that much better. I think we could talk personnel on the offense side of the ball, which is where I think some more impactful moves were made. But when I look at the defense, I am worried about the defense. Last year, you guys played the second easiest schedule of opposing offenses, second easiest schedule of opposing quarterbacks, and you still ranked 25th in defensive efficiency despite that. And when you run down the list of quarterbacks that you played, especially like from week 12 through 18, we're talking about games against, think about these quarterbacks, Cooper Rush, followed by Will Levis, followed by the tandem of Jake Haener and Spencer Rattler, followed by Kenny Pickett, followed by a rookie Michael Penix Jr., followed by Trey Lance. And that's not going to happen this year. You are not going to be able to play, like, what is that, six straight backups or rookie quarterbacks to close out the season. And which you guys won five in a row to obviously vault to the 12-5 record to close out the year. So that's not going to happen again. But I think your defense is going to, you're playing a more difficult schedule and you ranked 25th last year. So all of this sounds pretty bad. The one way that you guys can offset that, though, which is something that's not really bankable, however, it could be coached and executed this year, is you could be better defensively from a takeaway perspective. You ranked 20th last year in takeaways. And if you look back to what Dan Quinn did, the way that he earned a job here in DC was with his defense in Dallas. And the thing about Dallas's defense is, on a down to down basis, it wasn't like a top three defense, but where they excelled was at the takeaways. And the takeaways that they had on defense, some of which they would return for touchdowns, pick sixes, or fumble scoop and scores, they would allow their team to be plus 10, plus 11, plus 12 in turnover margin. And that goes a long way to winning games. That clears up a ton defensively. I will just throw a parallel to another team in the AFC, the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills, people look at the Bills and will say last year, well, they have a decent defense. No, their defense was terrible. The Buffalo Bills defense was not good. You can read the chapter on the Bills in the book. The difference was the Buffalo Bills were like plus 20 in turnover margin because of all the takeaways that their defense was able to secure. So if you guys are able to get some more takeaways this year, it absolutely can offset the fact that your defense might not be that much better. And then it can help propel you to winning close to the same number of games as you did last year, even with a worse defense.
Talking with Warren Sharp here on Grant and Danny. Toby Altizer sitting in for GP. You were really high on Jaden Daniels and going into this season, the impact that he can have. What stood out about his rookie season, and what are some places where you think he can improve going into year two?
Well, the execution, just the coolness under pressure. Obviously, we mentioned the fourth down conversion rate where he was passing lights out on fourth downs. It's a very small sample size. But just his ability to execute when it mattered and not to get flustered. And that really, to me, comes from the drilling that he does with that cognolized virtual reality training. I don't know why more quarterbacks around the NFL are not, and in college, are not using it. Mm-hmm. It's definitely well worth every buck that it costs for different quarterbacks to take advantage of it. But what I also liked about the way that he worked with Cliff Kingsbury, that was a little bit surprising in hindsight looking back, is just how great the Washington Commanders were at scoring points early in games and building quick leads, which is very important and is something that is something that I really harp on a ton. They led at halftime in 10 games last year. They led after the first quarter by an average of 42, by a total, if you add up all 17 games, they led by 42 points after the first quarter, which was the fourth best margin of any team in the NFL. Their 92 points that they led by at halftime was the fourth best margin of any team in the NFL. Their ability to perform early in games with good scripted plays and solid execution is going to be vital this year, and is going to be, you mentioned, like, what can he do to improve? This is something where if he maintains status quo, to me, that's an improvement. And I say that simply because defenses are going to make adjustments now. They've had all offseason to go back and look at what Cliff Kingsbury was doing with Jaden Daniels, with this Washington Commanders offense early in games, some of the scripting and the things that they like to do offensively. They need to maintain the ability to jump out in games. That obviously does help the defense. That will obviously, in terms of complementary football, put opposing offenses playing from behind the eight ball in terms of their second half performance. And then they will be more predictable with their passing rates and allow your defense to potentially get some more of those interceptions and turnovers. So it's going to be incumbent upon Jaden Daniels and Cliff Kingsbury to try to start games quickly in 2025, even though the opponents now have more tape study and film study on what you guys like to do. But I just, you know, we ranked Jaden Daniels as one of the top quarterbacks. You saw the rankings come out by the owners and GMs and scouts. I know you talked about on the show about how they ranked Jaden Daniels fifth best quarterback. Like, the world is really high on Jaden Daniels right now, and it feels like maybe it's setting him up for some disappointment this year because everybody is so high on him. But I'll tell you, a lot of quarterbacks do take a jump in year two, and I'm optimistic that he can be in that category of quarterbacks who get even better this year with just the dedication that he puts into the craft.
Warren, go back to last year, and then it's going to inform my question about this year upcoming, just kind of where you're at on this guy. So basically it started mid-October when they played Baltimore. There's an abnormal game in there where they put an uncompetitive Carolina team, talking about Washington, beat the brakes off of them. Mm-hmm. Again, backup quarterback did that. And you and I could have done that probably against Carolina at that point. Then they struggled scoring-wise against the Bears, struggled offensively against the Giants, Steelers, and Eagles, and then the Cowboys. Some better defenses in there, but we're sitting here yelling about Cliff Kingsbury going, dude, you got to do something different. Terry's just on the left. Everyone kind of has it figured out. It seemed like he tweaked on the fly to avoid that Cliff after a little bit. Kind of give me what you thought of Kingsbury last year, and then maybe moving forward this year is kind of the perfect pairing, or maybe not, with Daniels and this offense. Just where are you at on Cliff Kingsbury, play caller, offensive mind?
That's a great point that you made, because Cliff ran into that cliff for years when he was coaching the Arizona Cardinals.
Right.
And it was the question of, you know, our offense is figuring out Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury and what they're trying to do offensively. And some of the data, though, since Cliff, obviously he was not coaching in the NFL for a little while, and then he's back with the Commanders. Some of the data is actually showing that it was more of a Kyler Murray problem in terms of what Kyler Murray ends up doing later on in seasons with he's a diminutive quarterback who gets banged up a lot. Sometimes he plays later in the seasons injured. Sometimes he's playing healthy but just worn down, especially with how much he's running with the football himself and getting hit and taking hits. And just his ability to throw the ball down the field later on in the season. If you look at my Arizona Cardinals chapter, you'll see I write a lot about that. So it was very impressive to see Cliff not necessarily reinvent the offense, but just find other ways to open up some more creative aspects to it. I think in part there were limitations just from a personnel perspective with the offense, right? Beyond Terry McLaurin, wasn't a whole lot else there. You had Austin Eckler, who was contributing early, and they would catch teams with some surprise runs or mostly passes, but then Austin Eckler gets injured for a little while as well. And so your running back room is a little bit more limited from a personnel and a skill set aspect. I think it's going to be positive to bring in a guy like Deebo Samuel this upcoming season, because Deebo is a very atypical wide receiver. A lot of these wide receivers that are making the big time money, like Deebo was, are the guys that are getting open down the field, separating, you know, stretching the field, opening things up for offenses, being those possession type receivers. Deebo was utilized by Kyle Shanahan in a very different manner. So many passes are caught close to the line of scrimmage. Deebo is a yak machine, leading the NFL year after year after year in his yards after the catch. And that's exactly, ironically enough, what Cliff Kingsbury will be able to get after this guy. It's not the vertical offense. It's more that horizontal air raid offense that Cliff will be able to deploy, giving defenses something to think about pre-snap, using some more pre-snap motion, hopefully, and working Deebo Samuel around. That will then help Terry McLaurin, just with Deebo out on the field and providing that other receiving threat. I don't think teams last year really cared that much about the other receivers in Washington. They could focus a little bit more on Terry, and then, like you said, always on one side of the field. Defenses were able to slow down the passing attack with a rookie quarterback and his number one weapon in Terry McLaurin. Now it's going to be a lot more difficult for them to do that, because I think of the ways that they'll be able to get Deebo Samuel involved as a receiver, doing some things after the catch, using in pre-snap motion to help influence coverages. I'm looking forward to that creativity. But I will say this, Cliff will have to continue to stay creative all year long. The very best offenses are those that are really doing rigorous self-scouting every single game. After the one game, looking back at the last game, the prior four games, and the full season, and trying to make improvements. What can we do better? What can we do differently? What's actually working that maybe we didn't realize was working as well as it was? What are we doing too much of? All of those types of things, they should be their analytics department looking at that on a week-to-week basis and trying to continue to bring more creativity, because this schedule is going to be brutal. The schedule is not going to be easy, especially down the stretch, and you're going to be playing a lot of offenses that I think will be successful and can put up points, and so you guys are going to have to match them.
Warren, on a full scale of the NFL real quick, who's the team that you looked at and you think is going to surprise either good or bad this year?
Well, this team is supposed to do well, but not very many people are talking about them. And that, to me, is the L.A. Rams. I think the L.A. Rams, when I went back and looked and just fully understood Yeah, this is a team. Their number one wide receiver last year was Puka Nacua. He goes out week one, and he doesn't return until week eight. Their number two receiver was an aging receiver, but he's still their number two, Cooper Kupp. He goes out week two. He doesn't return until week eight. So your top two receivers, think about it, like Terry McLaurin and your number two, are out basically the first half of the season. And then they also sat them week 18, the last week of the season. They didn't play any of those receivers. And yet the LA Rams last year still won 10 games. Like, they still won 10 games without their top two receivers playing like half the year. So I think that's a team, and Matthew Stafford was terrible on third downs. He was terrible inside of the red zone. I think that's a team that can impress. Now, they were the ones who gave the Philadelphia Eagles the most challenge last year in the postseason. So it's not really going out on a limb and saying, I think this team's going to be much better than anybody thinks, but nobody's really talking about them. And I think they're going to be a really, really competitive and solid team this year. A team that, unfortunately, I think is going to step back, in my opinion, could be the Cincinnati Bengals, which is a team that, like, they've got a stud quarterback, one of the best in the NFL, obviously ranked higher than Jaden was, top five by most owners and GMs. But the issue is, what is there around him if he's not throwing the ball perfectly to his elite wide receivers? They don't have a great run game. They don't have a great offensive line. They don't have a great defense. I mean, those are three important aspects to football. Running the ball is not quite as important as the other two, but that's a team that really is solely built around Joe Burrow. And if he's taking as many hits as he's been taking the last couple of years, it's inevitable that he'll eventually get dinged up, have some issues from a health perspective. And I just worry, what is this team record-wise? I mean, he's been brilliant for a couple of years, and they've only won 9 games each of those seasons. Like, at some point, and their win total this year is 9.5. Like, at some point, Burrow's either going to get injured or his play might fall off a tiny bit. I don't see the defense stepping up. I don't see the run game really stepping up this year. So I have concerns about them. So those are a couple of teams around the league who are playoff competitors, one of which I think will be better than people think, and one of which I think will be worse than people think.
SharpFootballAnalysis.com. Use that promo code GRANT for $29 or what is it, $28 off, $29 off, $1 for the 2025 football preview. Warren's behemoth telling you what's going to go down this coming season. A pleasure as always, Warren. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks for having me, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.